My mother and father told me the story of how when Mary was told that she was going to have the baby Jesus, she was worried and concerned and afraid. And she decided to come and see the one person that was her true friend. And she knew that my mother, Elizabeth, would comfort her. And so she made the journey to visit my mother. And my mother told me that when Mary came into the house and announced herself and told my mother, Elizabeth, about the good news of Jesus, that I leapt in her womb with excitement. I have always felt that I am connected to God and would do God's work.
It's an amazing beginning and quite a story about your mother. You had mentioned your father at the beginning of your answer, and you mentioned he was a priest. I'd like to understand a little bit more about how your father influenced you.
Well, as I said, he was an Aaronic priest, and the interesting thing is, when the angel Gabriel came to my father and told him that he was going to have a child, he did not believe. He did not believe, because my mother was of older age, and the Lord, I guess, was frustrated with my father. He muted my father, and my father did not speak for the remainder of the pregnancy of my mother, 90 days. He could not speak. When I was born, he was so overcome with joy that he announced that my name would be Yochanan, which means God of grace. It was a wonderful moment. So I guess my father gave me my name, but I guess actually God gave me my name.
Wow, that's quite an amazing start. And I might be going a little off topic here, but you did talk about your father being a priest, and, you know, especially in today's day and age, I can't ignore the question of where the money went. You know, he was a priest, and so priests were well-to-do. Biblical scholars would tell us he's well-to-do, and some money would have come your way, but from my review of things, I couldn't find anything in the Bible about that, so I was really curious, you know, what happened to the inheritance?
The inheritance?
Yeah, money from your father that would have come to you.
I don't know this word, inheritance.
Your father would have had money because he was a priest, and then when he died, you would have gotten it. I mean, weren't you interested in that?
No. I never understood this inheritance. Mm-hmm. I never thought about it. I was never concerned about anything that I would get or have. I was only concerned about doing God's will.
Okay, I'll scratch questions like that moving forward. Let's see. Let's go back to the story. That we were making some headway there. What do you make of the stories about your conception and birth? I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. Your mother, your father. You've told us the story, but like, what do you make of it? What does it mean?
Well, like any of us, we are who God makes us. There's a plan for us, and these stories about what would become of me basically pointed me to do God's word. And I always felt in some way that that's all I was meant to put on this earth to do.
Well, I mean, clearly, you know, you did. And that's part of the line of next questions that I have are along the line of exploring your adulthood and your ministry. And I know this place looks kind of foreign to you. It's different than where you've been spending your time, where you spent most of your time as an adult. But if I can bring your attention back here for a minute. All right. It's Christmas time, right? That's why we're interviewing you. This is our decorations about Christmas, Jesus' birth. And you're one of the characters we don't often hear about in relation to birth, but you were part of that beginning. But we also want to talk about your life and how you related to Jesus and part of his reason for coming. So we need to explore more of your adulthood and your ministry. And to do that, we're going to talk about the wilderness, which is very different than this suburban place or my suburban or urban background. So you're going to have to forgive me if I ask questions that might seem simple to you. But if I was living where you lived, I wouldn't know how I survived. I mean, where did you live? What did you eat? Like, how did you get by?
I didn't think it was that big a deal. I lived in the wilderness. God told me to go into the wilderness and preach, repent.
Yeah, but you had to eat something.
Well, sure. I ate what God provided to me. One of my favorite things to eat was locusts. I loved locusts. And sometimes I would fry them up. And for a special treat, sometimes I would put a little bit of honey on them.
Yeah, I'm sure the honey helped a lot. There's not a lot of people in this church who's eaten locusts. So maybe one, but, you know, but he didn't eat with honey. So, yeah, that's kind of amazing stuff. Kind of miraculous. Speaking of miracles, as part of your ministry, did you perform miracles?
Miracles?
Yeah. I mean, some prophets perform miracles. Was that part of your ministry?
No. I never performed any miracles. That was not what God put me on earth to do.
Well, then what exactly did you do out there?
I did what I said, Scott. I went around preaching, repent. Repent, and God will forgive you for your sins. That was all I ever felt I had the calling to do.
And so how did people participate in this repentance you called about? What did they do?
Well, I would baptize them in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of God, and I would put them in the water, and I called that baptism.
Okay, so you baptized them with water, and you preached repentance for the forgiveness of sins. I mean, what you say is verified by the Bible. It's in there, but it means a lot coming from you as well. But, I mean, that's a long time to be out there just eating locusts, preaching, and baptizing. I mean, did you have any friends? You know, how'd you pass your time?
I didn't think it was a long time.
No, that's a lot of time. I mean, did you go into cities? Did you catch a show?
A show.
Go to a restaurant. Okay.
That's
a lot of time.
Scott, I told you.
Biblical scholars said you were out there for years. Maybe your whole adult life after your coming of age. That's a lot of time.
Okay.
It's hard to believe.
Okay.
All right. Let's go back to the baptisms, because this is your namesake, right? John the Baptist. I mean, it wasn't what your father called you. We learned what your father called you, but we call you that.
Okay.
So we'd like to hear more about the baptisms, and especially one baptism, the baptism of Jesus.
Okay. Baptisms all matter. God asked me to baptize people because he loves them. It's a special thing that I was sent to do. But as you know, I was only sent to this earth to mark the way for Jesus, to set the path. In Malachi, the Lord said, I will send a messenger. I will prepare the way. I am just the voice, just the voice. In Isaiah 43, I said, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight for the way of the Lord.
So you're just the voice.
I heard that was later written into the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, Isaiah, you studied that. You know, that would have been scripture. But yeah, that was recorded, and we read about that today. And you call yourself the voice, and that you're that voice in the wilderness. If you're just the voice, then what's the source?
I came first, but he who came after me was greater. When I saw Jesus to baptize him, I called out, Behold the Lamb of God, he who takes away all the sin of the world. These aren't just my words. When I baptized Jesus, a voice from the wilderness, the heavens, said, He who baptizes with water will be sent a person who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. When I baptized Jesus, I saw a heavenly vision on his shoulder. I knew, Scott, that I had blessed the Holy One. I had witnessed a special thing.
That's extremely important and a very moving point. And I always hate this part of the interview, but we've got a break for commercials.
Commercial?
Yeah. You're just going to sit here. Nothing's going to happen to you. But we're going to share some messages from our host, our Redeemers. They're hosting this interview today, and we're going to share about two ministries they're doing. So just sit here and wait.
Okay.
Yeah. not easy. The first one we're going to share about is Heifer. I think most of you know have been in our church before, but for those who don't, we participate in Heifer International. For the next 3 weeks, after service, we make available for you to purchase an animal to give to a family in need through Heifer. And then they give the offspring of that animal on. And there's a little video that will explain that. And if you want to do more with this, see somebody in the narthex after the service. We got a video, John. Watch.
I used to have a goat. Where did it go? It went to a family who really needed it. You see, giving a family an animal is like giving them a business. The wool, milk, eggs all turn into income for medicine, school, clothing, a better home, a sustainable livelihood. Soon, the family is passing on the gift of the animal's offspring to another family who does the same and on until the whole community is lifted out of poverty. That is where my goat went, and that's why you give to Heifer International.
Wow. We've got one more announcement, and then we'll come back from our commercials for the rest of the interview.
The United Methodist Church is very much involved in disaster. If you would like to contribute financially to make the rest of your living to the United Methodist Relief, using advance number 90170, you will find all the information on the UNCOR website. At this time, money is the very best kind of talk to you. At a later date, you will need supplies.
Well, John, we thought it was important to share those ministries at this time because you talked about doing God's work, and we thought we would want to share those at this time. But we're back, everybody, from our commercial break. Thank you for joining us for the interview of John the Baptist, Part 2 here. John, it's going to get a little difficult. I'm going to have to talk about some difficult things. I can't ignore this line of questioning. We've talked about your conception and that amazing part, your birth, your commitment to God in your adult life to serve Him, your preaching, your baptizing of Jesus, which you said you saw the Holy Spirit descend on Him like a dove. I mean, that's amazing stuff. But we can't end there because you would also speak to authority about what was right. And you, according to my notes here, you chastised King Herod for taking his brother's wife. I mean, I'm not defending his actions, but weren't you afraid of the consequences of that kind of behavior? I mean, going to the government and saying that's not right, you got to do the right thing.
No.
Okay. Why?
Why?
I mean, most of us, I mean, we'd want to do the right thing, but especially in that time, I mean, the king was law.
Because God wants us all to be without sin. And kings are no different. God has told many of us in our time, many prophets, to speak against evil and to correct sin. And I saw the king committing a sin, and I felt it was my, what God would want me to do, to speak up. No, I was not afraid to do that.
Okay.
What would I be afraid of?
Being killed?
I'm not afraid to be killed.
Well, I mean, that's clear, too. I mean, you were arrested, you were mocked, you were tortured. I mean, how did you deal with that?
How did I deal with it?
Yeah.
I dealt with it in the way that God would want me to. It's His plan. If I was to be in the wilderness, I was in the wilderness. If I was to be in prison, I went to prison. If I was to be killed in prison, then that would be God's will. It's like I told the people that stirred up trouble during Jesus' early ministry. A person can only receive from heaven a gift of God. Only God can give you your gifts. What you do with those is up to you.
So you weren't the Messiah?
I was not the Messiah. You yourself can testify that I said during my lifetime, I am not the Messiah. Someone will come ahead of me.
I mean, this was prophesied. I mean, this... I'm sorry, our equipment's not too good there. We didn't have the right
I've never had a box on my hip before.
I know, and we didn't have like a camel skin hook or latch. Your clothing kind of made that hard, so I do apologize for that,
okay.
John. Let's try to get you back where you were. You were explaining that God asked you to pave the way for the Messiah, but you weren't the Messiah.
That's right. It's like being an attendant. The bride and the bridegroom come to the wedding. If you're the attendant to the bridegroom, you sit and you wait for that person to come, and you listen to the joy that they have on their special day. That's the feeling and the joy that I had when I listened to Jesus. I knew that I was listening to the Messiah. And I always knew that Jesus had to be greater and I had to be lesser. Hmm.
And you did sacrifice that. I mean, you were in prison. I mean, did that affect you? Did you doubt?
I'd like to think that I didn't doubt. I may have come close to doubting, but I think it was more impatience than anything else. I was in jail, and I thought that Jesus would use his godly powers to do something about this evil king. I was really hoping he would overthrow him, and I was hoping that he would make things better in my time, and I was hoping he would get me out of jail. But I guess it wasn't to be. I sent a message to Jesus. I said, "Are you the one, or is there somebody else still coming?" And he said back to me, he said, "Tell John to go. Go and tell John what you've seen. The lame walk. The dead were brought back to life. The deaf could hear. The poor were given spirit. It is good to hear from the source directly, just like I did in the wilderness."
Hmm. That's very moving. And clearly, you know, no one faults you in that position, asking questions. But, I mean, with that kind of experience and being in prison, and, you know, did it make you wonder why you were doing this? I mean, why did you do this?
I am the vessel of God's word. I was sent on this earth to preach, repent for your sins.
So you were just the voice.
I was just the voice.
Are you sure you did the right thing? Are you sure it was...
Yes. Yes.
100% sure.
Yes, I'm 100% sure. God confirmed what I was saying. I mean, I saw the Messiah. I saw the Messiah. I don't think any other prophet ever actually saw the Messiah. It was taught that he would come, he came, he died for our sins, but nobody else actually saw him. No prophet actually saw him. And I did. I did. This is the good news. If you pay close attention, when I was in jail and he sent me that message, he went out into the city of Galilee and he preached about the good news. He said, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Repent." Just like me, who came before him. But I had become lesser and he had become greater. This shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, because we got it from the same source, the Word of God.
Okay, I mean, thank you for making that point. I mean, I can understand you're sure and why you're sure. But I guess there's a part of me that just wonders, with what you went through, was it worth it?
Was it worth it?
You were in prison, you were killed. Was it worth it?
Was it worth it? Obeying God. Was it worth obeying God? Do you hear yourself?
Well, you know, I'm a journalist here, so, you know, I may have a slightly take on it, different than you and some of your audience, but, you know, and I can understand what you're saying. It's your conviction, it's your faith, you know, the voice, you know, you're hearing God and you're being that voice. But I mean, and it might be just I'm reflecting my culture in today's day and age, but we like results. Okay? You know, you're preaching repentance. Did people repent? Did people change?
It's not my job to get people to repent. I am just the voice in the wilderness telling you to repent. It is not my job to get you to repent. Only God can judge what's in your heart. I am not worthy to judge whether anybody I preach to would ever be worthy. I am never worthy enough to do that. I preach the word to repent, and God will be the judge of whether you do or not.
So it's God's Spirit then that handles that. I guess I'm still not completely getting it.
I don't think you're listening to me, Scott. I was only the voice. I was only the voice. It is the voice that comes first? No, it's not the voice that comes first.
But you said the voice comes first.
The voice comes later. There's a thought. And God is the creator of all thought. The Alpha in the Omega. Logos, the Word. He is the one that creates everything. And the voice, well, that is just following the source of God and doing what He wants us to do. Do you understand that? I mean, do you really get what I'm talking about?
I'm trying, and I definitely feel like the tables have turned. I feel like you've become the interviewer, and I've become the interviewed. Do I get it? You know, I'm sorry. You know, John, I have to apologize to you and to my audience. This almost never happens. I mean, I'm a professional. I get paid to do this. I'm kind of at a loss.
You have that look in your face that I have seen many times when not a seed of what I am saying makes sense to them. I think this interview is over.
No, please don't leave. It's okay if the interview's over, but I do think a seed remained. It hasn't borne fruit, but let me try this out on you, and let me try this out for our audience, because, I mean, I'm a journalist, okay? So on some level, I understand truth or the pursuit of truth. I understand that it exists, so that's what I believe anyway. Otherwise, I wouldn't be asking you the questions or anyone questions, because I believe as a journalist, if I go research that and I go dig and go try to get that out, that I will bring the truth to light. But I think what you're sharing is a little different. I thought in a lot of ways I found the truth. And I think what you're saying is that the truth exists, period.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, and that way, like you, if God is calling out to us and this source and this truth exists before we even speak it, then you are just that voice. That echo. And like you, if we hear that voice, we should listen and perhaps respond. Thank you, John.
Yes.
We do this. We shake hands. We grab it and we shake like that. Thank you very much. And then we let go. Okay, thank you. Thank you. It's been a great interview. We thank you for coming for our television program, and we hope you enjoyed it. John, if you can stick around a little after the service, some people may want to come up and ask you questions. But we're going to finish the rest of the service here from our Redeemers. Thank you again.
Okay.
Please stand and join us in our closing song.
Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile.